For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
His cats and dogs are safely inside the palatial West Virginia estate and not in danger of capture and boiling and broiling. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score, Mike Florio, is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. And the Bears have a data point now for Caleb Williams. It has begun. We saw it. It wasn't great. It probably could have been worse. He didn't turn it over. They won the game by hook or by crook. So what's the takeaway?
Yeah, they won the game because Will Levis morphed into Carson Wentz at the worst possible time for the Tennessee Titans with that pick six. But a win is a win. Preseason and regular season, very different. And I think the message is simplify it. Build more into the offense each and every week and ride the defense. Win however you can. Do whatever it takes and hope that Caleb Williams will improve on 14 of 29, 93 yards and a passer rating of 55.7.
I'm glad you said that because the first segment of our show was talking about how our Bears quarterbacking trauma has us back to simplify it, manage the game. And we're taking this, perhaps the word generational was used about this guy, and we're talking about him like he's Kyle Orton now. So where do these graphs meet? The graph of do what you have to do to win the next game and get this guy ready and let him be great.
Well, it all depends upon how the games go. Last year, C.J. Stroud was able to come in and make a huge impact right away, and we're going to see him in his first primetime sort of asterisk regular season game. He had a primetime game last year on a Saturday night that was flexed into primetime. This is the first previously scheduled Sunday Night Football Bears-Texans, and Stroud was great. Bryce Young wasn't. Anthony Richardson showed flashes of greatness before he was injured for the rest of the year. But you don't want to make definitive judgments based on limited reps. We saw, I think, enough from Caleb Williams to believe at some point that will manifest itself in a regular season game. It just may take some time. And yes, it was a surprise. He didn't come out and light it up like we've seen others do right out of the gates. But again, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And it could happen as soon as Sunday night. You never know when the light is going to go on for a guy. And it just is good that he has a team around him that is good enough to allow him to engineer a victory under circumstances where his performance would suggest victory was the last thing that was going to happen.
Building on the simplify idea, I think that's the word that scares me and scares Bears fans as well. What do you mean specifically by that? Like, do you mean like for the time being? Do you mean against Houston because Houston is so good? Or are they, because this is a question I wanted to ask and wasn't able to, conceptually, do they change things because of one atrocious game by Caleb Williams? Sounds like that's what you're saying. Simplify it.
Yeah. Well, reduce the number of reads, right? Do a lot of shorter passes to build some confidence and pad some stats, a little swing pass to DeAndre Swift, just to get the confidence rolling. A lot of times we'll see that in the scripting of the plays at the start of a game, little things aimed at making the guy feel like it's moving in the right direction. Confidence is so important for a quarterback. We can see when a guy doesn't have it. We can see when a guy does have it. There are ways to layer it and build it in. So just keep it simple. Rely on the running game. If you have an effective running game, it suddenly becomes a lot easier to pass the ball because the defense is doing all it can to try to figure out how to stop the bleeding with 5, 6, 7, 8 yards of carry. You do a little play action and you get a guy wide open. So it's going to require careful coaching. He's not Patrick Mahomes yet. It doesn't mean he won't be. It's just one game. For all we know, the Titans have the best defense in the National Football League. That's the thing about the NFL. Week one, you never know how good the team is you've beaten. You never know how bad the team is that has beaten you. You have no idea how it all fits together. It's not like college football where you can quickly get an idea whether or not it's going to be a good year. It could be the Titans have a really good defense. And you know, at some point, maybe Caleb Williams finally elevates against a team that doesn't have such a good defense. We'll find out 1 week at a time.
We should mention that the man who picked off Will Levis, aforementioned by Mike Florio, Tyreek Stevenson, was just named Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC. And I think it's the first time since Eddie Jackson that a Bears player has gotten that
Sounds
award.
Sounds right.
Twice, I want to say there. That's a pretty special thing for a Bears defender. But Mike, I want to ask you in general about why quarterbacking is really bumpy out of the gate. To be generous, it's bad. And passing touchdowns were down last year. Is this a function of not playing starters in the preseason? And is this a small sample? Is it maybe defenses are catching up in general, or some combination therein?
Well, when you're playing the preseason, you don't play a full game. There's no game planning that's done. You don't go through the highs and lows and ups and downs and ebbs and flows of figuring out what the defense is doing and taking advantage of it. The coaching becomes very critical. It's cracking the code on what a defense is doing and coming up with ways to counter it. The real challenge for Caleb Williams is going to be after there's about 4 or 5 games of film. That's when defenses can really aggressively figure out what he does well, what he doesn't do well, how to attack him, where his tells are before the snap. Is there something he does that shows when it's a pass? Is there something he does that shows when it's a run? It's one of the great challenges of studying film. You don't know what you're looking for, but you're looking for anything that will help you have an insight into what a guy does. And it takes, for new quarterbacks, several games before there's enough evidence to do that. So that's coming, regardless of how he plays over the next month. They'll have enough film to really, really attack him. And the Bears have to be doing the same thing with the defenses they're going to face. It's not just figuring out during a given game what a defense is going to do. What has the defense been doing? How can we exploit these holes? And for the quarterback, at what point do we trust him enough to go to the line of scrimmage and say, aha, I see something. I'm going to shift to this other play. I'm going to take advantage of it. That's when you know you're starting to really get the game mentally to slow down and you get in a position where you can make a difference with a decision you make before you even have the ball in your hands.
Hey, Mike, just getting a little bit of news in here right now from Tom Pelissero and a statement from Deshaun Watson's attorney, Rusty Harden, on the recently filed civil case related to an allegation of sexual assault from 2020. I'll read it. It's not long. Deshaun strongly denies the allegations in the Jane Doe lawsuit filed Monday. We have asked him not to comment further while this matter works its way through the courts, but are comfortable he will ultimately be vindicated. One more paragraph. Again, this is Rusty Harden speaking. We will be ready to defend this case in court at the appropriate time, but don't intend to conduct our defense in the media. We would ask that people be patient while the legal process runs its course. In the meantime, Deshaun is going to focus on his energy and concentration on football. Mr. Florio, your reaction to that? And is Deshaun Watson, like, is he getting close to being done as the starter of the Cleveland Browns?
Well, on Monday's PFT Live, before we were aware of this new lawsuit, I said, hey, look, the only way the Browns get out of the remainder of this contract, which pays out $46 million fully guaranteed this year and next year and the year after, is if he would do something for which he would be suspended, the Browns could then void the remaining guarantees and move on from him. This case raises a couple of questions, and I've reviewed the contract very carefully. There's a key paragraph, paragraph number 42. If Deshaun Watson did not disclose this specific claim to the Browns before he signed, because they make reference to claims that have been disclosed in writing. If it wasn't disclosed in writing, and if he gets suspended for even one game and the NFL has said it's looking into the situation. Suspended one game, Browns can tear up the contract, void the guarantees, and move on from Deshaun Watson and save $92 million. So that is the stakes of this, regardless of what happens with the lawsuit, regardless of whether or not he goes to trial and wins or loses. $92 million is riding on it, and this ends up in the NFL's alternate internal justice system where the presiding third-party finder of facts, former Judge Sue Robinson, has already issued a ruling against Deshaun Watson and said some things suggesting she didn't find him to be the most truthful person. If she gets another bite at the apple with a set of facts that the NFL wasn't aware of, that the Browns weren't aware of, that could lead to another suspension, and that could give what I think most Browns fans want,
a half away
from Deshaun Watson.
That's what I was going to ask, because it's so cynical and shallow, and I feel gross even asking about it this way.
And it's exactly how the game works.
I know it, Mike, but it makes us all feel kind of icky, but it matters if he's bad.
If he's good, hey, this is how sports work at every level, regardless of the sport. This is how it goes. If you're great, we will find a way to make an excuse. If you're bad, then we make an example. And for the Browns, who would surely love to get out from under the worst contract we've seen, coupled with the fact that they gave up 3 first-round picks and 3 other draft picks, think about how good the Browns would be right now if they kept those picks, used those picks, 6 more players. It was a net of 5 more players they would have had because they sent a mid-round draft pick back as part of this deal. Keep the money, use the money on other free agents. Good Lord, the Browns could be a powerhouse right now. So if they can save $92 million in cash, I guarantee you they do it. And this thing may have fallen out of the sky for them. And here's the next level. You want to go really cynical? The NFL doesn't like the fact the Browns gave him that contract. Maybe they won't suspend him because they're giving the Browns a lifeline. Maybe it's better for the Browns to have to spend every dollar, so the message is sent to the Browns and any other team, don't step out of line. Don't defy the wink-nod collusion that happens all the time in the NFL. Don't give veteran players 5-year fully guaranteed contracts.
Mike, were you as impressed with the Miami Dolphins official statement as I was regarding the treatment of their players?
Yes, but here's the problem. And Tyreek Hill even touched on this in his interview with NBC Nightly News. He's not surprised by what the police union had to say. They accused him of being uncooperative because they're going to support their guys. And the Dolphins are going to support their guys. And the problem is, and this is so indicative of modern life in America, we retreat to our corners and circle our wagons instead of trying to find the middle ground here. And I think it's possible that 2 things are true here. 1, Tyreek Hill was uncooperative and dismissive with the police when they first came up to his car. And there's a reason they want the windows down. If tinted windows are up, they don't know what the guy's doing inside the car. They don't know what he's grabbing out of his glove box. They want the windows down. Keep the windows down. Don't put them up. And that's what he did. Now, that doesn't mean that it's acceptable for the police to respond to the lack of compliance and cooperation by basically punishing in the way I used to get punished in the 70s when I talked back to my mom. It's not enough to just get me to stop. There has to be some discipline. And hey, how dare you not cooperate? How dare you not comply? We're going to drag your ass out of the car, throw you down on the asphalt, cuff you, and treat you like this, not because that was necessary to secure your compliance, but because it was necessary to send you a message that you better not act that way when a guy with a gun and a badge tells you to cooperate. So there's room there for both sides to be at fault, even if it's Tyreek Hill a little bit and the cops a lot, by escalating the situation, by turning it into a moment of punishment, not security, safety, and cooperation.
I agree. I mean,
it's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a rare case where both parties were comported themselves poorly in the moment, and I think the parental...
But it's not a level playing field. That's what bothers me about this. There is a person in position of authority who is representing the law and carrying a gun, and it is not a level playing field when it comes to both sides in something like
this. It's not a level playing field, but why wasn't he cooperating? Like, why was he?
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah,
I've been pulled over a few times in my life, and that's the moment for, yes, sir, whatever you need, sir. My hands are on the wheel, sir. You don't want anyone to get confused, and you don't want to give anyone who's walking around with that kind of lethal force excuse to slip into butthole mode, because a lot of people get attracted to that profession because they are buttholes and they want to be able to have a license to kick your ass whenever they feel like it. So don't give them a reason to. Is that fair?
It's fair and it's correct. I think.
And it's sad.
And I think the way you explain it.
Exclamation point,
sad. And I also...
It's almost as sad as eating a dog.
I always... When we talk about these things, I always go out of my way to preface it by saying, I have white privilege. I've never gotten the talk about what to do when a cop pulls you over, because it's not the same. And I can't ever pretend or presume that I would be in that situation. So I can't be an authority on it, because I have never known what that's really like. So I definitely have to say that. Mike, I also wanted to ask you, from this first slate of games, and you usually say, you know, the Florio rule is don't overreact to silly things that happen in the first couple of weeks. And yet, look, we're asking, are the Vikings good? And
no.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Because I knew you'd have a more than informed opinion.
Just because the Giants suck, is that really what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, 28-6, you know, blowouts, like if they scored football like soccer, what, it was 4-1. I mean, I know that's still a blowout in soccer, but it seems better than 28-6. I think that, like, the Saints, who destroyed the worst team in football, the Vikings, who dismantled the second worst team in football, we'll find out what the Vikings have. They got the 49ers, the Texans, and the Packers the next 3 weeks. We're going to find out what the Vikings have. And then they got the Jets in London. We'll know in the next four games whether or not it was just a situation of beating up on the weakest team in football. But yeah, that's the reality. We just don't know and we won't know. And here's the other reality too. Teams will change from now till January. They're going to get better. They're going to get worse. There is very rarely a flat line for a team from start to finish. And the challenge is finding ways to get better, especially when you have injuries. They're inevitable for every team.
I have seen various versions of this particular observation already last night and this morning, but I'm sure you have too, Mike, but we saw a conspiracy theorist who is old and probably washed get soundly defeated by a superior opponent.
You mean Aaron Rodgers?
From San Francisco. Yes. And yes, that could mean one of two, but yeah. So is it rust? Is it age? Or is it just, he got beat by a good team?
I was watching the game with a friend of mine the other night. And at one point he said, "Boy, Aaron Rodgers looks old," and he is old. And that's the thing. We appreciate players in their prime. We see the special things they do. And some of them are able to outrace Father Time. And as I said on the show today, Father Time comes for everyone. It comes for every creature on the planet, sometimes with a knife and a fork. And you can't deny that. We've seen very few quarterbacks play at a high level past the age of 40. And it may just be that, you know, he's played four snaps before Monday night, four snaps since the Packers lost to the Lions the last game of the 2022 regular season to miss the playoffs. Four snaps. It looks a little rusty, looks a little old, and that defense needs to play a lot better. The defense held that team together last year when it otherwise would have been 2-15. That defense can't get pushed around the way it did on Monday night, or they got no chance.
Okay, Rodgers old, Vikings bad, Steelers good, Justin Fields, anything there?
Well, I think the defense is great. And if TJ Watt is healthy, we looked up the stat in the viewing room on Sunday. When Watt doesn't play, the Steelers are like 1-9 or 1-10. The defense is good enough. And Justin Fields, I think they look as the long-term option to be their starter, but they want Russell Wilson for now. Fields did enough. No touchdowns, but six field goals. Decent field position, but the defense was spectacular. It didn't feel like the game was as close as the score would suggest. That's the formula for the Steelers to end up being competitive and possibly a playoff team again in 2024.
Mike Florio, thanks as always. Have a great week.
See you guys.
Bye, Mike.
It's Mike Florio. He's been brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.